Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's great to be able to bring God's word to you today. And it's a joy that I get to continue our series, Legends and Misfits. Well, I hope you've been enjoying the Olympics so far. What I've managed to catch, I've found really enjoyable. And once again, I've been inspired by the efforts of these elite athletes. Every 4 years, they're anticipating the next Olympic Games. But this Olympic Games has been a little bit different. It's been caught up in the COVID situation. It's been delayed for 1 year, and even before the Games started in Tokyo, there was so much questions and confusion of would it even go ahead. This past year, the athletes have had to adjust and pivot to what situation was unfolding before them. Think about it. Right at the start of lockdown, all the gyms, all the swimming pools, all the running tracks, they were all closed. You couldn't leave your home. And these athletes had to adjust to these circumstances. I heard Adam Peaty, the one who won the 200 meters breaststroke. Once again, he won the gold medal. And he talked about how at the start of lockdown, he couldn't really train. And he had to improvise. Eventually, they built a pool in his back garden. Cyclists couldn't get out on their bikes, so they had to get exercise bikes. And there was this one guy who lived in a flat, was in lockdown in his flat, and his exercise bike was in his kitchen. Then I heard about Jo. She's a kayaker from Australia. And she's quite an impressive athlete because her full-time job is a paramedic. In her spare time, she competes in kayaking. And you can imagine it's a little bit difficult to train for the kayak race in your home. But when things opened up, she went to an isolation camp where she was training by herself. And in the water where she was training, she talked about how she had to overcome crocodiles and sharks that were coming against her kayak. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a tough training session. I'm sure there were moments over this past year with the delays and the uncertainty, some of these athletes must have questioned, was it really worth all this extra effort? For that brief moment of few minutes, sometimes only a few seconds, was it worth all that hard work and all those training sessions, even when they were training by themselves, was it worth it? And I'm sure when they stood on that podium and the medal around their neck, I'm sure in their hearts they knew it was worth it. This past year has been difficult, not just for elite athletes, it's been challenging for everyone. And would you be honest to say there's maybe been moments that you've reflected and went, man, this is tough. How am I going to keep on going? Has there been moments over this, maybe even past few weeks, where you've got to that place where you've been so discouraged that all you seem to be reaping right now is disappointment, that you've got that place, how will I manage to keep on going? Well, I really believe that this whole season that we've been going through has not been a wasted season. I believe that God has been working in our lives to prepare us for our next season, that there is something ahead for each and every one of us. But are we ready to move into that? See, today I want to talk to you about a legend in the Bible. He's one of the hidden legends. We don't know too much about him, and he's caught up in that group of disciples. He's one of the inner three. But some of these disciples, before they followed Jesus, they were following someone else by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, and he was a radical preacher. He was calling out the hypocrisy of the religious leaders at the time. He was calling people to a baptism of repentance. And one of his key points to his ministry was to prepare the way for Jesus. And he would point people to Jesus, whose ministry was just about to begin. It was John who baptized Jesus. And in that moment, it launched Jesus into his earthly ministry. And some of the disciples, Andrew and John, were following John the Baptist. And Andrew's the one who goes to Peter and says, hey, you need to come and see Jesus. He's the Messiah. But there's another disciple who was a partner to Andrew, Peter, and John. And his name is James. And I want to look at the character of James, this disciple. And I believe that his actions teach us something that will help us to keep on going even when we go through seasons of disappointment and discouragement. Turn them in your Bible to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read from the start of that chapter. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Ever gone through a season in life where you just feel like you can't get a bite? Everything that you've tried and done before, you've done again and no result. All you seem to be catching is disappointment. What do you do in times like this? Where is James when everyone else is listening to John the Baptist preach? Where is James when he's baptizing Jesus? Well, James is back in Bethsaida with his father Zebedee. Zebedee had a fishing business. They had fishing boats and they were fishermen. And at this point, James is with his father looking after their boats, but also looking after their nets so that when they were ready to go fishing, their nets were ready. I want to talk to you today about your nets. See, in the Bible, the nets are a picture of our lives. Last week, Pastor Neil brought an incredible message where he asked the question, can God use me? Can God use you? Well, I want to ask you today, are you ready for God to use you? I want to talk to you today about the condition of your nets. Any good skipper and crew will know that it's not just good enough to leave the harbor. You've got to have your nets with you ready to put into the water to catch your fish. And they would also know that the condition of your nets are really important too. If your nets are not in a good condition, if they're broken, if they're not in a good state of repair, they are not going to fish well. And in our text today, we read that the fishermen were washing their nets. Just as it's the skipper and the crew's responsibility to look after their nets, it's our responsibility to look after our own lives. It's our responsibility to ensure that we are growing and maturing in our followership, discipleship of Jesus. That we're growing in our understanding of who he is and how he wants us to live in this life. It's not always glamorous. It's not always on the tour with the big preacher. Often it's in the daily mundane points of life where we're faithful, where we're taking the moment to ask God to help us to grow and to mature. The journey of discipleship is a lot like mending and repairing nets. Taking the moment to look at what's going on, what needs attention, asking for help, fixing and moving forward. See, during seasons of challenge and struggle, which I think if we're all being honest, we've all been through some of those recently, it's really important that we look after ourselves. It's really important that we look after our souls, our inner self. Keep your nets ready. Keep yourself ready so that when Jesus calls, you are ready to cast your net. How do we get ourselves ready? Well, first of all, our starting place is that we remember that even when we feel like our nets are empty, if you have Jesus, you're still full. Even though everything around you would seem to appear that everything is falling apart and everything is going wrong, if you know Jesus, your life is already full. That is the starting point. Most of my childhood, my mum and dad were net makers. And every day after school, I would head round to their net store. And I'd be waiting for my mum to finish. She was probably still finishing off a part of the net, a cod end, she'd be cutting up bits for the net to be put together. And that was what she did. She was on the first floor. She put all that parts of the net together. And then eventually when that was finished, it would be passed down through a hatch in the floor. And then on the main floor, my dad with some other guys, they would put the rest of the net all together. They had a great long store so they could hang up the net and you could see all the different parts of the net being put together. And when it was completed, it would be ready to transport to the fishing boat and then to be fished. But there came a point when sometimes if the boat had been caught up in rough seas or maybe the net had been caught along the sea floor, that it would need to come back into the net store and be repaired. Now, this wasn't as fun of experience when you would come from school into the net store and there was a net that had been fished in the North Sea hanging up. In that net, it wasn't the pretty, beautiful net in that it had left originally. It still had in it some of the ocean floor, the mud that it had trawled across. It even had some rotten fish in there. I can still remember the smell of those nets. It wasn't pleasant. If you're in Peterhead right now, I'm sure you can relate to that smell. And what would happen is they would hang it up and they would do an examination. They would see the areas that needed to be repaired. They'd see the bits that needed to be cut out and a new panel would be put in. They'd see bits that needed to be tightened and they would do everything that could be done so that it was ready to go back out to fish again. I think that's a great picture of what our journey of discipleship looks like. There are moments when we need to be cleaned. There are moments when we need to be mended so that we can fish again. See, the Bible tells us here that the disciples, they were washing their nets. And when they were washing their nets, they were looking for, you know, weeds or things that shouldn't be there. They were picking them out and they were making sure if there were any holes, they were mending those holes so that they could cast their net into the water again, and when they got some fish, they wouldn't escape. And just as the disciples were taking time to care for their nets, we've got to take time to care for our lives. Can I ask you today, are you ready for God to use you? Is your life clean? You see, they were cleaning their nets. And it's our responsibility that our lives are clean. Cleaning is our responsibility. I read this week. My room, my mess, my business. The great philosopher Garfield, the cartoon character, said those words. And I think he's right. It's our responsibility that we make sure our lives are clean. You know, there is good news today. We can come to God and ask him to clean our lives. This is what David says in Psalm 51. He says this, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." The brother of Jesus, James, he says these words, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded." Hey, there's good news today. You can come to God. You no longer need to feel condemned. You no longer need to feel unclean. You can come to God, and he promises to clean you. Here we hear about our hands. This talks about our public life, our witness, our testimony. It's our responsibility that we make sure our public life is honoring to God and is sending out a good news message to the people we're doing life with. And that only flows from a healthy private life. It talks about the heart. Well, the psalmist says this in Psalm 24, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." To be ready for God to use you, you need to be clean and pure. You don't need to live condemned. You can receive the cleansing and the cleaning that God promises when you come to him and you ask him. You know, that's not glamorous. It's so important that if you want God to work through you and use you, that your life is clean, that your nets is ready. What's James doing? He's making sure the nets are ready. And of course, there's also mending. Just last week, one of the young guys in our church, he's a fisherman, and I'd sent him a message to catch up with them. And I hadn't heard from him until later in the day when he said, "Oh, really sorry, we were really busy at the boat. We had torn our net and we were repairing it." Through the storms of life, through the challenges that we face, we all at some point experience tears in our life. Now, we've spoke about the responsibility we have to keep our lives clean, but the mending talks about things that happen to us. Life circumstances. Maybe in this past year there's something's happened that you never saw coming. Maybe a relationship hasn't worked out the way that you thought it would. Something failed that you thought was a sure winner. Maybe in this time there's been someone you've lost that you love so dearly. And in the midst of all this, there's been tears. There's these emotional wounds in your life. And any fisherman will tell you, if you've got holes in your net, tears in your net, you ain't going to catch anything. And it's important that we take time to mend our nets, to receive the healing and the wholeness that Jesus came to bring to us. You know, in the Bible, one of the names is Jehovah Shalom for God. It speaks of peace. And it talks about the wholeness that he came to give to you. And if you've got tears in your life, then I want to encourage you today to take the time to mend those tears. Because if you want God to work through you, to use you, and to bring lasting glory to him, it's important that our nets are clean and they're mended, ready to fish well. Sometimes it can feel in life there's a big hole. Something isn't right. Something is missing. And it's important that we take time to mend those holes. So our lives can be clean, our lives are mended, our lives are whole. And it's at this point that James is taking the time to wash and mend the nets, that when Jesus calls and Jesus says it's time to go and cast your net, even at a moment where it didn't make sense, during the day was not the time they went fishing. They'd been fishing all night and caught nothing, and Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. These guys were. And Jesus gives them the command to go out into the deep water and to let their nets down. See, they were ready to fish when Jesus called them. And there's this moment when Jesus says, it's time to cast your net, it's time to shoot, it's time for me to use you. I'm calling you to this moment and to this purpose. We need to be ready. And in this season, it often is a time where it doesn't make sense. It's going to take a lot of faith, but it's also going to take a lot of obedience. See, Peter might not have agreed that this was a good time to go fishing, but he still obeyed. And he says these mature words for a pretty new follower. He says this, because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. Can I ask you today, what has God said to you through his word? He's already said to you, and he's waiting for you to respond with I will. Sometimes when we read things in God's word, it doesn't always make sense. Doesn't always suit our preferences. Doesn't always fit in with culture and society today. But because you say so, I will. When you obey God and his word, you can always expect a result. See, this story tells us that when they were obedient to what Jesus' instruction was, they caught so much fish, their boats began to sink. And I believe today, as you're watching me, God is speaking to you. And he is maybe asking you to do things that are uncomfortable, maybe don't make sense, but if you'll obey him, if you will take him at his word, if you will just have the same attitude as Peter, even if you don't understand, even if it doesn't make sense, because you say so, I will, then God can use you. Are you ready for God to use you? If you can respond when Jesus is calling, even when it doesn't make sense, and just say, I will, then you're ready. You see, these disciples were so astonished at what happened, the Bible tells us that they were confronted with their sinful selves. Peter is begging for mercy, and they realize how great Jesus is, so great that they leave everything. They leave their boats, they leave their nets, and they follow after Jesus. What was it about Jesus that was so attractive, that was so wonderful, that everything else they'd already known was worth leaving behind to spend every moment of their lives with Jesus? What was it about this man? Jesus said these words. He said, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. James and the other disciples, they lay down everything that they'd known up to this point. They lay down their nets, they lay down their lives, they lay it down, and they pick up the life that Jesus had for them. See, maybe you're watching me today and your life actually feels like a broken net. There's a huge hole in your life. And Jesus is calling you today to lay down your broken nets and to pick up the life that he has for you. That's why he came. He came to make you whole. He came so that you no longer needed to feel unclean and you didn't need to feel so burdened and condemned. He came to give you life and freedom, and he came to give you a life to the full. And I wonder today, will you obey the word of Jesus? Lay down your life and pick up the life that he came to bring to you. Sinda, how do I do that? Well, it starts with a commitment to him. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. And I want to help you to say, Jesus, I want the life that you have for me. I recognize the life that I'm living right now, there is more. You have more for me. And if you feel today condemned and you're feeling in this moment that you are unclean, Jesus came to cleanse you and forgive you of all that stuff, all that rubbish, all that regret. It's that the Bible calls it sin. He came to set you free from that, to give you a new life here on earth, but also the promise that you'll spend eternity with him forevermore. If that's you today and you say, Daniel, I want to experience that, well, can you just pray this prayer that I'm going to lead you in sincerely from your heart? Just say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, you died in my place, you took my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today for the first time, then we want to help you. We want to connect with you. So please, can you let us know in the messenger chat or however you can contact us today, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. And to everyone else who's watching me today, you love Jesus. You know him as your Savior. But is he your Lord? See, this sort of call that the disciples answered to was not just a belief that Jesus is Savior. They were declaring that he is Lord. And they were going to live their lives clean and mended so that he could work through them. I want to ask you today, are you living a manner of life that you are clean and mended and that you're ready for God to use you? If you want to be a legend of the faith, then keep yourself clean, keep yourself mended and whole so that God can work through you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those who are watching me right now. They're your children, they know you. I pray if anyone's feeling condemnation in their heart, I pray that they would realize the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is drawing them near to you, that they would take this moment to make a fresh commitment, that they would take this moment to come to you once again, to be clean and to be mended so that they can be used by you to bring lasting glory to your name. So Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would meet with those who are watching me right now. Do a work in their heart that they'll be ready to serve you and to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.